Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it, all that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it, all that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to another episode of Threads of Enlightenment. Today we have Kathy, depending on where you are and you're listening to this particular podcast. And as we do here at Threads of Enlightenment, we invite our guests. Once they're here, we have them tell us what they have created, and then we will go back and get all of the steps that brought them to this place of today. Kathy, welcome to Threads of Enlightenment. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Welcome to the family.
Oh, thank you so much. I am so happy to be here. And I'm super excited to talk to you. Anytime I can talk about spirituality and helping the world and helping ourselves, I am totally in. So thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. So tell us some of the things that you're involved in today. As you are a life coach, talk about that. Talk about your services that you have at your disposal and all of this world that you have created today. And then we are going to go, as I said in the beginning, before all of the fun stuff started, and we'll get all the juice. So tell us what you're doing today.
Well, I am a spiritual life coach, and I work with people. I really like to work with young people, people who are in their teens and 20s. And part of that is because I believe that that generation is here to help change the world. And I am here to help support them in coming to do the mission they came here for. So that is part of what I'm here to do. And as a spiritual life coach, what I do is I help people to go inward because I believe that you have all the answers inside of you. And you have your own GPS system. That's your guidance provided system that is just for you. And if I tell you what to do, then you're following my guidance provided system. But if I help you uncover your system, then you will be able to listen to your intuition. You will learn to love yourself. And again, when you love yourself, you trust your intuition, then it helps you to trust and have the confidence that you need to do the work you came here to do. And I have some clients right now. I was actually just working with one, and she said, working with you is the highlight of my week because we uncover things that she has inside of her. And I'm just asking the questions that help bring that out. And it's so amazing to watch. So that is really the main thing that I do is that spiritual coaching.
That sounds awesome. I love that. You sound exactly like how a true coach should be, and that is to bring out the gifts that are inside, just highlight them because it's there in all of us, as you said, our GPS. I believe because many of us are busy and not really paying attention and living in a state of awareness, we don't know what those things are. And we haven't even began to ask the questions like you are doing with them to uncover what those things are. So it is beautiful to hear that you are their guidance to that, to those individuals. So now, Kathy, okay. Talk to us about when, and it is my belief that life comes to us and presents us breadcrumbs or signals that we need to pay attention to. And most of the time, as I always state, that we are not a people that live in awareness. And not until you have started your journey that you have learned that being present is part of your course. And so we are in this sleepwalking kind of a thing. And sometimes some of us we pay attention to those breadcrumbs, but most of us don't. And what happens is that we come into a situation that, boom, just shows up and life is here and knocks us on the shoulder and said, I've been trying to talk to you for several years and you're not paying attention to me. So this is the only route that you gave me, so I'm going to take it. So what were some of those breadcrumbs looking back now that you're here, looking back, that some of those breadcrumbs that you recognize, and what was your incident that crashed and caused you to begin to, as I say to people, you begin to ask yourself the questions, why do I think this way? Why am I acting this way? Why am I behaving this way? So what were some of those breadcrumbs and what was that incident?
Gosh, such a great question. And of course, like you, we've been through a few things in our lives. So I have definitely had a lot of breadcrumbs along the way. I would say the one that really turned my head to get me going in a direction was I had twin boys that were about 8 months old, and I was married at the time. And we were at church on Sunday because now that I had kids, I wanted them to be raised in church. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting there and the minister was talking and I was thinking, ooh, my husband, he needs to listen to this. Yeah. And because that's what I would do. I'd be like, he needs to listen. And then all of a sudden, I literally heard a voice in my head and said, no, you need to listen to this. This is for you. Yeah. And from that moment, it switched every time I heard something that instead of looking at my husband and saying he needs to do it, I realized that was for me. And I ended up finding somebody in that church who could mentor me and about six other women. And she set us on this beautiful course of being mentored by somebody who spiritually knew a lot more than we were. She was further along the path than we were. Mm-hmm. And she brought in, Marian Williamson was our first book. Ayanla Van Zant's One Day My Soul Just Opened Up was my game changer book.
She was one of mine. Yeah. She changed my life. And I know I was going through a dark time and one of my coworkers, this elderly woman, she came to me. She said, I want you to read this. She said, I know she wrote this for women, but we are all the same as far as our spirit. And that book that I read about from her changed my entire life.
Yeah. I mean, it literally opened up my soul because I had been very much a fundamental, I became kind of a fundamentalist Christian in my high school years and kind of held on to some of that. And then when I read her book, I remembered being like 4 years old and remembered being with God before I even came to this earth. And there's even more to that story that is in my other breadcrumb.
Yeah.
But I remembered and I was like, oh, I remembered being with a higher power. Oh, I remembered that. Then I forgot it because my family didn't, they didn't really nurture that in me. They didn't know how to nurture that in me. But that is the true essence of who I was, was somebody who understood the higher power than myself, and that I was here for something greater than just, I shouldn't say greater than, because that means that, but do you know what I mean? I was here for something more than just I was here for spiritual reasons. And so that took me on a trek for, I don't know, I'm going to say 23 years, where I was constantly questioning and working through a lot of things. Went through a divorce, got involved with somebody else after that. We were together when he and I broke things off. Then I really went through, and I've had some depression through that. When I got divorced, I had a lot of, I struggled with depression. There were a couple of times I considered leaving this world because it was just so challenging. But I didn't want to do that to my children. And so thankfully but I was afraid to ask for help because to others, I looked really strong. I thought I was such a strong person. So I was afraid to be vulnerable with them. And then about 4 years ago, I was having, I hope it's okay to say this. I was having a sexual experience. And that was a big breadcrumb for me. And during that experience, I actually, left my body and I went back to when I was a tiny girl, maybe 2, 3, or 4. And I realized I had been molested. And I literally left my body. And in that moment, I said, my whole life has been a lie. And this moment where I left my body, that was the truth of who I was. But everything else has been a lie. And what I loved about that moment was I was then able to truly shift and shift into going, because before, even though I'd done all this spiritual work, I was kind of spiritually bypassing things. And now I knew that something, and even I knew that something had happened as a child, but I didn't know what. And I knew there was a problem growing up, but I didn't know what. And when I had that memory come back, I realized, no wonder I chose the men I chose. No wonder I put such a wall up. No wonder I couldn't grow spiritually like further than what I was. And all of a sudden, then I knew, now I could take full responsibility for my life. Now I can shift and now I can change, because now I know that what I was feeling all that time, I truly was a victim. So instead of constantly victimizing myself for 30 years, now I can say, I know, now I literally know I truly was a victim and now I can move on from that. I have validated myself, which is what a victim wants. They want to feel validated. I was able to validate myself. And even though I ended up in another very deep depression after that, it was when I finally was able to talk to some friends and say, I'm struggling here. I need help. Again, that is when I believe my higher power said, because you were vulnerable, let's work with you again. Like, I mean, they never left. The higher power never left. But it was another moment of a switch of a gear for me of, I was able to be vulnerable and say, I need help. And I think that that is, that allows the light to come into the darkness. When you bring it out of you, it allows the light. And ever since then, that is when then I've been on this track to find my self-esteem, find my self-worth, trust my intuition. I realized I was an empath. I didn't know that. And of course I would choose narcissistic men, right? I'm an empath. They attract each other. And I went to get my life coaching certification. I've become a spiritual coach. I have a self-love for myself that I've never had. I trust my intuition. I mean, it's just been an amazing journey, but I had to do the hard work in order to get where I am. And that was really opening up myself and really, instead of lying to myself about things, really being honest and going, I'm not safe. I'm not happy. I'm not, how do I work through this?
That is a really beautiful story. And thank you so much for sharing that and trusting us with that information. It is interesting to see. So here you are, you realize all of these things. You realize that there are trauma in your life. And from the point of view of trauma, we live our lives based on that lens that we look out of. And many of us sometimes don't know it, but when it does show up, then a lot of things make sense in life. So yes. As you begin your journey and your awakening, and you had mentioned briefly about learning to love yourself, the self-love piece. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little about that? Because I know you had mentioned that that's what you're doing with your clients and so forth, that you mentor them in that aspect of self-love. I believe that self-love is the first space that we have to visit once we have become awoken, if you will.
Yes.
Because from that space, as we learn how to accept ourselves with the darkness and the hurt, the pain, and still in that space, give ourselves the chance to love ourselves and embrace ourselves, that we have begun. You talk about asking those tough questions and being honest with yourself. There's a proverbs that Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. And so as
yes.
you begin to be truthful with yourself in the space of self-love, talk to us a little about how did you manage the depression. These are all entities that show up, and we have to learn how to have a conversation with them to put ourselves in a space where we grow and they become weaker, where they lose their power over us. Talk to us about that space of self-love.
Yes, you've brought up so many great things. One thing I want to say is I've been very, very fortunate to have two spiritual teachers. Mm-hmm. And both of them always were about pointing me inward.
Mm-hmm.
And the second teacher I had, and they're both still in my life, but I don't use them in the same way now. But
yeah.
The second teacher I had kept reminding me, she kept saying, stop looking outside of yourself for love. Stop looking outside of yourself for validation.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're reliant on what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then they can take it away.
Yeah.
So when I went through the worst depression I had, and I mean, even my spiritual teacher was concerned about me. She sent me the 1-800 number, and that was a wake up call for me, because I'm like, I'm bad enough where I'm going to have to call the hotline.
Wow.
And I said, Kathy, you have to like get yourself out of this. So one of the things that she and I did was, because I literally couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I was stuck. I was stuck in my home. And so we came up with a plan to do five things every day. And some of them were normal, like brush your teeth, take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
I had some words of affirmation that I would say every day that were on my wall.
Yeah.
And make sure I was drinking water and eating. And then the last one was I needed to make my bed mm-hmm. every single day.
Wow.
And because I needed to see that I could accomplish something.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do that every single day. And that was probably what really helped me, because once I could do those five things, like after a month,
mm-hmm.
then we could add another one. And then we would add something on top of that. And that really helped me get out of that funk that I was in. I also believe, and I think that, is there absolutely some chemical things that happen? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that when you're living a life that is not true to your soul, that also creates depression.
Oh, yeah.
And I was living a life that was not true to what my soul wanted and needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why when I was single and my children were out of the home and I was living in the suburbs of Dallas, Texas, I was living in a home that was too big for one person, and I would come home and live by myself. And I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Why am I living a life that no longer serves me?
Yeah.
And that is when I ended up selling my home, went on an adventure, and I've been on an adventure for the last 2 years, just trusting my intuition, because I really worked on
yeah.
that self-love part. Another thing, and you asked about the self-love, was one of them was I did something for myself every day
mm-hmm.
that was loving towards
yeah.
me. If that meant taking a bath, I would take a bath. If I wanted to read a book for 10 minutes, I would read a book. If I wanted to go walk in nature, I walked in nature. And I also learned, and I'd already been learning it, but learning to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And again, being honest with yourself and what your needs are. As women, we tend to not be honest with ourselves.
Yes.
We give and give and give. And, you know, I was a flight attendant at one point, and you put the oxygen mask on yourself first and then on your child. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, then you don't have any air.
Yeah.
And the same goes for mothers and fathers who, if you don't take care of yourself, you will have nothing to give.
Yeah.
And that's really important, is to take care of yourself first so you have actually more to give.
Yeah, that's a hard lesson for parents to learn because society has really put that pressure on us that we ought to, the children first, or even your husband first or wife first, the marriage first, everything is first. And you're always in the back. But the principle's always been this: to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul and thy mind, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. You got to love yourself before you love your neighbor. And so if you have nothing in the tank, as they say, how can you then truly love? I think we are just caught up in the motions of things and removing from one destination to the other without being in a space of awareness. And that is why life always comes and visit us with these wonderful situations that come into our life. And I know you talk about low self-esteem. In my book, I wrote about low self-esteem that if someone has low self-esteem, they're so vulnerable to people that can take advantage of them because that person that shows up and began to validate them by what they say, they can get them to do anything, act any way they want. And in most cases, that's detrimental to that individual until that individual begins to, like you said, to take ownership of your life, take ownership of your decisions, take ownership of who you are. And as you begin to do that, you begin to, I believe that we begin to make the choices, as you mentioned about no sometimes. Those are choices that we begin to make as you begin to look at yourself and begin to accept everything with who you are. And you start guiding yourself with your decisions and your processes. So here you are embarking on this process of loving yourself and learning to trust yourself and all of these aspects of it. You talk about going for a walk and doing the things that was meaningful to you. So how did you now, as you navigated from there and you began to move in your life, and your children are here, you still have the kids, you are now progressing to a space where you are getting stronger. So how did you begin to deal with some of your darkest, I hate to say that, you know, for lack of a better word, those demons that you had, the depression, all of the other things that arise in us because we have allowed society imprint on our brain and our spirit, church, parents, school, all the other stuff. How did you now begin to start handling and managing all of these entities that are before you?
Right. You know, again, I think the first step for me truly was taking full responsibility for my life. I think getting honest with myself about what I needed and what I wanted and what was working for me in my life and what wasn't, what was the people pleaser in me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a big thing. I think honestly, freeing myself of my home was like a weight taken off my shoulders. I remember signing the papers and my realtor, I was literally jumping out of the title company, and the realtor said, I don't think I've ever seen anybody so happy to be selling their home. And I said, you don't realize I've lived in that home by myself basically since I got divorced for almost 13 years. There was I took a little 3-year gap and lived with somebody, but I lived by myself, was taking care of that house, being responsible for it, raising my children in it. And I just realized for my soul, it was too, I just didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
It was not enjoyable to me. Mm-hmm. And again, that was me being truthful for myself. Like I could have made it work. I could have stayed there. I could have really worked hard, but my life is about spiritual work.
Yeah.
And it's not about making hundreds of thousands of dollars to live an extravagant lifestyle. That is not my calling for my life. Mine is about whatever I need to do spiritually and have a very, very simple life. I like very simple things, but that's me. That's what I like. And one of the things that you had said, which I like, is that life is full of choices.
Yeah.
And you will hear a lot of people say, I don't have a choice. Mm. This is just my life. But the truth is that we all have choices and we can change things when we want to. That doesn't mean you have to sell your home and leave your town. I felt called to do that. I had to ask myself, am I leaving because I'm running away? And I said, no, I'm leaving because I'm running towards my life.
Yeah.
But you have to make sure you understand the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the difference between also ego and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Ego wants to have you run away.
Yeah.
But spirit wants you to run towards and feel that peace and joy.
I think that's part of growing and the pursuit of enlightenment is that we want those challenges. We want those dark places to be that a light shines on it. And because I tell people, I always make the statement that we are creators. The world that you have today, you created it. You may not want to believe it, but it is the truth. You have created it, good or bad. Once you have learned that, and then you can begin to create the world that you really want. If you're not happy where you're at, and you have to get in contact with that spiritual part of you, because that's the part of you that will guide you. I have this saying to people that the five senses can be manipulated. It can be manipulated with song, with a memory, all kinds of stuff, with words can be manipulated. But the inside, the inner man, no one has learned how to manipulate that yet. But mankind tries in everything that he can. But I think that is set aside for God to communicate and reach us. Because we have these five senses, as I mentioned, that dominates everything that we do. And then you have that voice that is inside of you that you are not at rest. You're not happy. And that's God just stirring inside of you saying, I created you for something else, and I want you to begin to start creating with me. So now here you are, you're moving along. What, and I know you have the coaches and all of that. How was it coming into that field? Was it a seamless thing? What triggered you and say, you know what, this is what I want to do, and I think I'm going to continue this. And then you went to get to prepare for it. You went to study and do those things. What do you remember what it was that caused you to say, hey, I think this is where I want to go? And how did that happen?
Yes. Well, and before I answer that, I want to say two things to you too.
Go ahead.
One is you did ask me about the dark side, and I'm not sure I really answered that. Some of that did actually come out when I was being coached.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to work through a lot of the dark side because those were a lot of the old beliefs that I was holding on to.
Mm-hmm.
So that was where a lot of that came out, which I'm so grateful for. And then the other thing is I was going to say that I feel like my whole life, I always felt like I had a God-sized hole in my heart. Like there was something missing.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to call it the God-sized hole. And then when I started getting coached, I'd already done a lot of spiritual work. I've already done 20 years of spiritual work.
Yeah.
I was no longer spiritually bypassing. I was now digging deep into my old beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered walking down, I lived in New Orleans at the time. I was walking down the street and all of a sudden I was like, and I was really learning to love myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I was really starting to love myself. And I remember walking down the street and going, I don't have that hole anymore.
Wow.
That hole is gone. Mm. And I thought, and I'm not waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like I used to wait for the other shoe to drop. And I'm like, I'm not waiting for another shoe to, like, I feel like so much, so whole. Yeah. And I feel like I'm home. And I really feel like that had to do with that self-love. That was the puzzle, that puzzle piece that was missing. And I was like, and it was the most amazing feeling to go. And even now I look and go, am I waiting for that shoe to drop? And I'm like, no, because I know that everything's going to be okay. I know troubles will come. I know that things will happen. I know I will have challenges, but I'm not alone.
Yeah.
God is with me. I'm with me. I know that between the two of us, like we can do anything. Mm. And so that I wanted to make sure I shared that with you because whatever you said, something that really brought that up. And then as far as the coaching, I had considered doing, I'm a photographer as well, but again, I've always known that photography I had to do kind of because I was, got divorced and I needed a skill, but it wasn't something I like that really called to me, but I've always loved to work with people, be around people. Mm. I know that I'm here to give back. That brings me a lot of joy. And I started thinking about life coaching, but I had considered that about 13 years ago. And I'm so glad I didn't do it then because I wouldn't have been ready. I needed to really learn more about myself. And then I thought about it and I actually went online and looked up at a bunch of different schools. And none of them really spoke to me because for me, it wasn't about, again, making money. Money is important. You need to be able to pay your bills.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to be able to take care of your life. So it's very important in that sense. But that wasn't my driving force. Mm. And those schools weren't speaking to me. But I love Jay Shetty. I've listened to Jay Shetty for years and I really loved what he talks about. He's very spiritual. And that spoke to me. And then all of a sudden on Instagram, a Jay Shetty certification school came up and I'm like, I'm going to find out about this. And I called them and they told me more about it. And I decided that afternoon I was going to go for it. And that was another of the breadcrumbs, right? It was the first time I got coached by somebody. It was in a group coach setting. And I decided I'm going to be as vulnerable as I can because I'm ready to heal all of this. Mm-hmm. And gosh, it was so great. And he just went for it with me, this other student. And he was asking me these very deep questions. And he got me to really thinking about things as to, well, when I do something really good for myself, why am I not like celebrating that?
Yeah.
Instead, I just move on to the next thing. And that was one thing. Yeah, that's one thing he talked about was, what are you doing to celebrate that? And I'm like, I'm not doing anything. So that was really the start of all of the coaching.
Oh, wow. I wrote this book, Threads of Enlightenment, my co-author, Rade, a brilliant woman. She wrote that self-love is a point of origin, not a destination. And I love that. It is such a powerful nugget, that insight that she gave to us through that book. And I hear your story about, and you have lingered around this topic of self-love, and it's really beautiful to hear because that is so important. I stress to people, you've got to learn how to love yourself because it is important to be in every aspect of your life. It is where the joy comes from. It is where everything, the energy, the happiness, the joy. Happiness and joy is two different things. And the joy that you come, which is a deeper thing than happiness, a car can make you happy, but joy is something totally different. And so money can make you happy. But when people start to live out from this joyfulness and this joyfulness within themselves, it is absolutely beautiful to see as you, as a teacher now and a coach, you see that joyfulness springing up in one of your clients as they began to see who they are. And it is a different outpouring of energy that takes place versus a happiness thing. And so I'm getting to see that joy come out of you, and I'm so excited about it. But this is the self-love piece. As I said, you've been lingering here, And I'm glad you have been, because it's important that people understand, as Rade said, self-love is a point of origin. It's not a destination. So this is where you start. And so as you begin to start here, your world becomes bigger. Life becomes more flavorful. The excitement of the next adventure is before you, and life is, that door just swings right open. And I love the fact that you actually started it with that, and you're still here, because you were talking about your clients, and you're just dealing with someone who's recognizing who she is right now. And so I am so honored that you are able to share some of that here with our listeners. And I hope you guys are listening to Kathy, because that's the key right there. So as you begin now, and the process and the journey, I always say to people is this, that as you begin more and more aware of who you are by asking those deep questions, and you cannot lie to yourself. So you have to be honest. And as you begin to become honest with yourself, you begin to grow and fall in love with yourself. And so the end of all of that, as we keep moving in our life, is to become a servant. And so here you are now. You are a servant, and you're serving people. You began the conversation by bringing us to a space where you were serving someone, and they began to see who they are. Tell us a little more about how you feel, what being a servant means to you, and how it is in your life.
I am so glad you asked this question, because this is what I was saying. And you mentioned God earlier, and you mentioned Jesus earlier. I feel truly that now I understand what Jesus was talking about. Mm-hmm. I now get it. Mm-hmm. I get that when I think of the second coming of Christ, I believe it's when we truly understand what Jesus came here to taught us. Mm-hmm. And that was to love one another.
Yeah.
And I can't fully love you or others until I love me.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean a selfishness. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I'm being selfish, but I'm being selfless.
Yeah.
And I'm loving myself.
Yeah.
And now the joy I have, you're right, the joy I have in working with others and doing for others truly comes from a place of selflessness, because I know how to then come back to myself and take the time to myself to rejuvenate and to rest, and then I can go back out into the world and do for others. But I can't do that unless I take care of myself. So service now to me looks like when I'm coaching with people now, I love how I used to like to give a lot of advice. And now what I love more than anything is to watch somebody have their own aha moment, mm-hmm. because of something they figured out on their own. That brings me more joy than me giving advice.
Yeah.
I think being able to be of service means learning how to not be judgmental of myself or others. Mm-hmm. That means my self-talk. I have to be I'm more aware of what my self-talk is. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm talking mean to myself, then I'm going to talk mean to you as well.
Yes, yes.
I believe even something as small as that is a part of service.
Yes, I absolutely agree.
So,
you know.
Yeah. So I really feel like I have, because of doing the work, mm-hmm. I'm using air quotes, but doing the work to actually learn more about myself, grow, heal myself, because you can't really grow, and if you can't fully grow and become enlightened, I think, until you really heal some of those things. Now, some people can jump into enlightenment. I'm not saying you can't, but for some of us, we have to go through that process. And I think all of my processes were important, because I'm here to help those who are going through them now.
Yeah. I think it brings us a space of empathy. Yes.
Yes. That's also a part of that service, is having the empathy for others as they're going through it, instead of judging them like I used to do.
Mm-hmm. I think when we give advice as far as telling people what to do, within that telling people what to do, there's a built-in expectation. And if that expectation is not met, then that presents a problem within you and that person, because they didn't meet that expectation. But when you are just guiding someone the expectation is not on you. It's them doing the work for themselves. You're simply just asking those questions. You're doing what that person did to you, and you're giving yeah. them that space to look in deeper, to see as you are asking these questions, because they may not be familiar with those type of questions as yet. But you are right. a coach, and so you are familiar with those questions. Why? Because you have asked yourself those questions. And so you are now asking these questions of your students and your clients simply because you've been there. And so to yeah. see them have that revelation of self like you did, that's where that joy comes in, and it's done on their timeline. It is not yours again, because if it's your timeline, it have that expectation built into it, and you get frustrated with them, and you began to, as you said, you even speaking harsh to yourself, and it would reflect because you become a mirror. And it's important right. that you need to be aware of that all.
Well, and that's also a part of that dark side too, is understanding that everybody's a mirror to what you're experiencing on the inside. Mm-hmm. So if you're seeing anger out there, you've got anger inside yourself. Yeah. And I actually like that. Some people don't like that, but I like that because that means, again, I can be responsible and then I can change it.
Yes. Putting the light on our hidden behavior, it is beautiful. Yeah. And I tell, you know, my belief is that darkness is not something that we should run away from. Because when I read the creation in Genesis, it was darkness, and then the creator showed up. And I believe that we are that also creators. And so when darkness is in our life, let the creator in you show up so that you can change that situation by the way you began to speak, because he said, let there be light, and there was. And so the expectation is, as you begin to speak things that you want in your world, because you are creating this new world, as you begin to speak and call those things, because within you have everything that is necessary to make all of the molecules and all of the other things come together to form what you want. And the waiting time that I tell people, the waiting time when you make your confession and before the manifestation of your confession, is because your word has been sent out, and that word is looking for the people that will be used to help you facilitate what you have just released. And they may come as a friend, it may be a stranger who you meet somewhere, but that word that you have released is running around trying to get the job done. Just don't yeah. move, don't get into depression, don't get into all the other things. Stay in faith, as they say, with your confession, and be clear and don't move. And I guarantee you, it'll change your life.
Yeah. And you know what I have found too, is when I was in my religious mode, mm-hmm. I was doing things because I felt I had to mm-hmm. do them, but there wasn't a true desire to do yeah. them. I was afraid I was going to get judged and go to hell and all that. And now, because of all of my work that I've done, I do them because there is something inside of me that desires to do the right thing.
Yes.
Like I say right, there's right, what I believe is right, yes. right? Yes. My value system, I'm yes. going by what my value system is. And so now I do them because it feeds my soul.
Yeah, that is awesome. Kathy, I want to thank you so much for coming by Threads of Enlightenment. This is absolutely fulfilling to my spirit to hear someone spend the time and circle back. She started with the conversation about self-love, and she circled and stayed there and gave us information about how she overcome, how she learned to love herself. And it is my desire that you do the same. I have this little nugget that I would tell people. I said, learn to forgive yourself. It's liberating as you learn to do those things, because this is a part of self-love. Mine was guilt. I had to learn how to let go of guilt. And as I did, you have to learn how to forgive yourself. You have to learn all of these things. And as you learn these things about yourself, you can then learn. And as Kathy has, she is now teaching and she's a servant, releasing her knowledge, her wisdom, her energy to change the lives of men and women. And she mentioned the younger generation because she sees them as the catalyst that is going to change the world. And I thank you so much, Kathy, for coming by Threads and sharing with us all of your joy and your wonderful wisdom.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so grateful. And I'm excited to, I hope if anybody listens to this and they want to contact me, please find me on Instagram at Kathy Walden Spiritual Coach. I am very interested in making sure that people are going in the direction that's right for them. So there, they can call me and we can have a free consultation. Our first one where just making sure that, you know, you're going in the direction you want to go. So there's no pressure to work with me, but know that I'm here. And actually I normally offer one, but I'm going to offer two free calls. So 2-hour sessions where you can learn more about yourself and what it is you're here to do and learn to love and trust yourself. So thank you for having me. I love, again, having these spiritual conversations, and it's been a joy.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to make sure that I post everything that Kathy had just said to you guys. We are going to have those on Facebook. We're going to have it on Instagram. I also have a blog that you can go and check that information so that you can get to sit before her. And when people are giving you these things, take advantage of it, because to stand before and sit down with the sages of today, I call my guests the sages of today, is priceless stuff, because the end result is that each and every one of them want to see you become the best you possible, so that we can all enjoy and grow together and make this planet a beautiful place. Kathy, thank you again so much.
Yes. And one last thing. Go ahead. A true teacher is going to always point you inwards.
Yep. I absolutely agree. Thank you so much. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Everyone who's listening to this podcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials, to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. You can do this by hitting the heart button. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more. Everyone who's listening to this podcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials, to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more.